This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
He did not go off duty at 4 o'clock, but he continued even after those hours ministering into the evening. And no doubt he would have instructed from house to house. He would have gone through and behaved that way too. Maintaining that kind of a grueling schedule for 2 years in this city of Ephesus, with the result that all of the residents, it says in your Bible, of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks.
Once Christians experience salvation, many believe they can kick back and relax since heaven is already in the bag. But have you ever thought about the fact that there's a plan for your life crafted by God? What do you think drove Paul to put in so much effort and explore every corner of the world? He was on a mission to embrace the purpose that God had set for him. Today, Pastor Bo encourages you to seek the beautiful plan that God has for you. Embrace each day with a heart to live for Jesus. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, The Powerful Word at Work.
Speaking out boldly emphasizes the continual nature of Paul's proclamation. He spoke boldly, continually, all the time. So boldness for Paul was a hallmark of his. And if we trace that with the apostles, that is a hallmark of apostolic preaching. New Testament apostolic preaching of the gospel always has a boldness component to it. So I guess I'll apologize on behalf of others, but I am sorry to say that there's been just a Christian faith that has sort of been espoused that lacks a boldness for as far as an expectation for the disciples. All of us as disciples are to have a boldness in our witness. Now that's why the Spirit of God was poured out in Acts chapter 2, because the church cannot function the way that God has ordained for it to function without power. I mean, you need some dunamis, man. You need a plug-in. This same old religious rut won't work. You need power from on high to come upon you, fill you, enable you to represent the Lord, speak for the Lord, proclaim His word. There's a difference when we're under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit as Christians in our living and in our witness. There is a difference. And that was a hallmark of Paul's preaching and the apostles. And it was a desire of his for ministry, that there would be a boldness. He prayed for that in Ephesians 6:19. You can read that. That's something he prayed for. When was the last time you prayed for that? Man, Bo, come on, man. I just came to church. Just calm down. No, I mean, come on. Are we in Christ? If we're in Christ, this is our path. This is just the word of God. Paul prayed for that. He's our example. Follow me as I follow Christ. He's our example. He's our apostle. We look to him and we say, okay, Paul actually prayed, again, Ephesians 6:19, for boldness, that he would be bold. I've had things happen this week where I sent that as a text to a lot of pastor friends. I just asked them, please pray for me that I would be bold as Paul was in Acts 19 this week. That's probably why I'm a bit cranked up today. But just praying that we would be, that we would speak boldly, that our backbone would be strong for Christ in our generation, that we would not compromise the word of God in our days, but that we would stand and we would speak boldly for the gospel, something that Paul prayed for. That's comforting to me. Because then that means there's times where he realizes, I need the Spirit's help to be bold. I'm not just automatically bold. I need the Spirit's enablement, energy, dynamic, power at work in my life so that I can be bold for the Lord. So he prayed for that. And I think we ought to pray for that too. Pray for boldness this week. Come on, this week, right? Come on, let's do it. Let's pray for boldness at home. That's the first place we could pray for it. I think it's very bold to actually do a devotional with your family. If there's frustration and arguments, unforgiveness, things that are just festering in the background, and oh yeah, you need the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? I mean, you're gonna need the Holy Spirit of God to help you, to give you power, give you grace, to give you the ability to have understanding and cultivate a home of peace and unity. And you're gonna need the Holy Spirit's help to do that. Do it. Start by praying and asking for power. Power, power. That would be a desire of yours boldness, to actually be bold. So the content as well of Paul's preaching was confrontational. He held nothing back. He had no fear of rejection, and he had no fear of hostility. Remember, at one time, some other believers actually came up to him and said, "Don't you know that it's not going to go well if you keep going the way you're going? They're going to get a hold of you." And he said, "You don't think I've already thought about that? I'm ready to experience the chains and the death if necessary for the gospel of Jesus Christ." He's already considered all that. And he's already all in light of that. So just understand that. He's now living in a way you can't stop a free man. Everybody hear me today? I hope everybody listening at church today. All right. You can't stop him, because he already is truly free and able to serve. Because his life is what? It's not his. It's not his own. He's already laid it down. He's already given it up, surrendered it totally for the usefulness of King Jesus. All right, so he spent 3 months boldly proclaiming the gospel in this synagogue. That's his longest stretch in any synagogue, except maybe the one in Corinth, we think. But during that time, he's reasoning with the Jews. He is persuading them about the kingdom of God. Now, reasoning comes from a Greek word that I cannot pronounce accurately, but it's where we get our English word dialogue. So dialogue, think about that just for a moment. That helps us see that he did not merely lecture, but again, he was responding to their questions and to their challenges. Yes, he would proclaim, but a part of his proclamation, Luke is careful to give it to us. He's also reasoning and persuading, and that's what that reasoning is. It's this dialogue back and forth. I want us to get to where we're doing that in our church. I'd like to have Sunday nights or Wednesday nights or some other time in the week when I get a chance like this to proclaim the word of God, you know, with us as a church like this, but I'd love the opportunity to put some microphones down here, and I'd love to hear things that are on your heart. I'd love to hear you just be able to come and ask questions about the Christian faith, about the Bible, and us be able to have just that time as well, because that's another component that needs to open up of discipleship, the ability to ask questions and reason and learn and then be given a chance to be persuaded by the Word of God in light of your question. It's a great thing. Persuading means to convince by argument. That's what it means. So he's obviously in the midst of a whole congregation of unbelieving Jews, and yet he unflinchingly and very directly challenged their entire religious system, calling them to repent and believe in Jesus as their Messiah and as their God. Hey, come on, can I challenge us with something? Let's do that next time we chat with a Mormon, huh? Woo! Yeah. Some of you guys are like, I don't want to worship here anymore. Yeah. You know, but I mean, start really laying it out there about Jesus. Keep things centered on Jesus. Don't get caught up in that web. Keep things centered on Jesus. Jesus, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah. And start challenging false religious systems to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as Messiah and God. You see, preaching the kingdom of God, when it says that there, that his ministry, it encompasses a lot more than just talking about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus coming back, the kingdom of God, like when he's going to come back and rule and reign on the earth. It involves a lot more than that. To teach the kingdom of God is to teach things concerning the person of Jesus Christ, about salvation, about righteousness. I already mentioned that. Romans 14:17 is a great verse to look for what I'm saying here. It is to teach how to enter into the sphere of salvation, what it is to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to live there and to commune with God there for the rest of your life. The kingdom of God has a lot of things, facets to it. So though Paul was able to minister in the synagogue for an unusually long time, come on, we know the track record of Paul. It's got an end date on it, doesn't it? Every time this guy gets going somewhere, you can expect there's going to be some fireworks soon. And that's what happens. It says that some of the Jews became stubborn and they continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the people, before the congregation. All right, there we go. Now we got some fireworks going off, right? So that word stubborn, again, in the original language, in the New Testament, I mentioned it already, but it's always used to describe a heart that is against God. That's what's going on here. Actually, the imperfect tense of the verb shows that the hardening was a process. It was a process. So over the course of Paul's three-month ministry in this Ephesian synagogue, some of these hearts just gradually over time hardened against the gospel. And that's when the truth is rejected, and when it's rejected repeatedly, it hardens the heart. And the message of salvation, it becomes, according to 2 Corinthians 2:16, an aroma from death to death is what happens. And so they're refusing to repent, and they're refusing to believe the gospel is classified as, if you look at the verse, continuing in unbelief, which is, this is a bold proclamation that I'm saying to us today, disobedience. You know, the world is in just total disobedience and defiance to God. Kevin knows, friend of mine, he's with the sheriff's office. He sees it every day, right? But let's not get it twisted. That's the state of man in rebellion against God, disobedient. Why would I say that? Because belief, repenting and believing, listen, church, it's a divine command by God to the world. I don't know when the last time was you put some brain power on that and let that into your heart and let that affect the way you live out your Christian life. But please think about that for a little bit. Let that sink in. God has commanded all people everywhere to repent. That was Paul on Mars Hill. And it's throughout the scriptures. Acts 17, verse 30, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, we see it. So God has already set the command. So let us understand, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it. I think that's enough, right? We understand it. People are walking in, living in a state of disobedience to what God has said. If there is an understanding and then a rejection, all right, they're in a dangerous place. God's already issued the command, so we're going out and we're saying what he's already said. And we ought to be able to do it in boldness. Yes, in kindness. Yes, in with a graceful spirit. But also with the fact that it is the command that has been given by Almighty God. It is the truth and it's not changing. Your soul will be held accountable to it. Guaranteed. So the outward manifestation of their stubborn, hardened, inward disobedience manifested itself not only in a refusal to repent and believe, but also in, notice what they did. It came out of their mouth. They started speaking evil of the way. Things start to make sense of what we experience today, even as Christians. Where does that come from? Well, a person who's unbeliever, person who's rejecting God over and over again, is that surprising to you that then they would say things against you, against us as Christians? Notice that it's capitalized, the way, that W there is capitalized in the English Standard Version, which suggests that was the early title for Christianity. And we see that actually in a number of places throughout the book of Acts. Paul's opponents began an aggressive public campaign of slander before the congregation in an attempt to destroy his influence among that community of people right there. So realizing that nothing was to be gained by staying in that kind of a situation, Paul can tell, all right, there's no more ground for me to gain here. He withdrew from there. And notice he takes those disciples with him, those who had repented, those who had confessed Jesus as Lord, and he begins reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. Tyrannus may have been the owner, I mentioned it to you last, of a lecture hall. He might have been a philosopher during those days who taught there. If he was a teacher, his name, actually his name means our tyrant. You ever had some teachers that would be what you give them, you'd give their name? Yeah, I've had some teachers be like, man, this person's brutal, you know, in their class here, what they expect. That's what his name meant, but it may also just be a nickname that was just given to him by his students. Some New Testament manuscripts, you can actually see it in your Bible, add that Paul taught in that school, you'll have a little footnote there, from the 5th to the 10th hours of the day. So from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. is perhaps the time when Tyrannus, if he was a philosopher who had a hall, a lecture hall, that's when he would dismiss his students for what we know today as a siesta. Anybody like siestas? Man, I love a good siesta, right? It's getting, when we know it's getting hot here, right? So like 11 o'clock hits and it's like, yo, I'm out of here, right? And I'm going to grab some grub. I'm going to take a nap and I'll be re-energized around 4 o'clock, right? And they come back at 4, and then they would work till about 10 or 11 at night. There's actually some historical records during this city, during this time, that at 1 a.m. there were more people awake than at 1 p.m. Yeah, more people. The nightlife in Ephesus, because of the hot, because of the heat during the day, was very active. And so in the New Testament, there's a great commentary set, if you ever wanted to grab one. This is a good one. It's the New International Commentary on the New Testament. F.F. Bruce, who I personally, all throughout my studies, have always found to be very good. He has written this about Tyrannus. He says, Tyrannus, no doubt, held his classes in the early morning hours. Public activity ceased in the cities of Ionia, that is this area, for several hours at 11 a.m., and more people would be asleep at 1 p.m. than at 1 a.m. But Paul, after spending the early hours of the day at his tent making, would then devote the hours of burden, when he could also grab a taco and sleep for a little while. That's not what he did. He dedicated that time to a much more important and a much more exhausting business, Bruce goes on and says, and he must have infected his hearers, in other words, impacted them significantly, with his own energy and with his own zeal, so that they were willing to sacrifice their siesta for the sake of listening to Paul. That's good. That's good. Who would do that? Who would go listen to Paul from 11 to 4? You would once you heard him once or twice, right? You say, I'm going to the hall of Tyrannus to listen to Paul. Who cares about my sleep? So Paul did not go off duty, is what I'm trying to say to us today. Paul didn't sit around and wait for somebody else to do it, or for somebody else to figure out his schedule, or for certain resources to align just right, or my job to change so then I could do this for God. Nope, none of that kind of stuff. Zilch, zero. Everybody hear that? Nope, not at all. He did not go off duty at 4 o'clock, but he continued even after those hours ministering into the evening. And no doubt he would have instructed from house to house. He would have gone through and behaved that way too, maintaining that kind of a grueling schedule for 2 years in this city of Ephesus, with the result that all of the residents, it says in your Bible, of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. So I am trying to, and I hope it's graceful. I hope it's kind. I am trying to thicken our skin a little bit, toughen us up a little bit, but spiritually in the kingdom. Get us to sort of push back on things that we've allowed to get in the way of our willingness to work hard for the Lord. I say, oh, Bo, come on. No, guys, I just got to say it to us straight. It's hard work. ask Hannah. Ask my wife. Ask any of our team around here how things actually get done. I was talking to Greg in my office. We had a good conversation about that. It's not like it just happens. Many of you, over 120 of you, understand that, I know. We're a set up and tear down campus. That means you are carving out significant portions of time of your life dedicated to serving in the ministry. I can't thank you enough for that. But many people don't get that. There's just some adjustment that needs to be made there and some understanding that if we want to see God do, I want to see God do great things in our church and through our church and use our church in this community, it will take a devoted heart that's willing to work hard, put in some hours, come back again, pray, be filled with the Spirit, studying the Word, and continue giving to people all that God is wanting to give to them in us and through us. All right, here's number two. It's the confirmation of God's Word. The confirmation of God's Word in this city, you'll notice it in verses 11 through 12. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Wow. So to provide just indisputable evidence that the message was true that Paul was preaching, It says that God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Such miraculous confirmation was standard with the apostles. Apostolic preaching. We see this. In the absence of a written New Testament by which to measure someone's teaching, God used signs. He used wonders to authenticate his message and his messenger here with Paul. Many verses to support that. Now, these people, I think, the Ephesians are, we haven't spent much time on this in this message. The background of these folks, they are steeped in superstition. Steeped in superstition during this time. Well, I mean, you keep reading this passage this week and you'll see it. They're very superstitious people, failing to understand that Paul was merely a human channel for God's power. The Ephesians did some amazing things. Handkerchiefs, sweatbands, aprons that Paul wore during his tent-making labor, that stuff that had touched his skin, they would carry those away to the sick. And the eye, so, I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? Now, I can't explain that other than that's what they did. I don't know if they would come to him and say, can we have that? You know, I don't know what that looked like, but something like while he's working, they're coming and saying, can we get that? You know, I don't know, but that's all I got. Oh, I'm trying to picture that. And what we do have is that they had the idea that healing power could be sort of magically transmitted, was very prevalent in the ancient world. We know that. So it says, diseases left them, evil spirits came out of them through those means, but that does not commend that method. Please understand that. As some people would do that today, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what, instead it must be viewed as nothing more, I think, than God accommodating to the mentality of those people during that day. It further proved to them that Paul was from God, that Paul spoke from God. And it's interesting, as a doctor, Luke actually carefully distinguishes between diseases and afflictions caused by evil spirits. He's got those separated to make clear that not all illness stems from demonic causes. We think that today a lot of times. Oh, so-and-so sick. It's Satan or it's demons doing this thing to them. And Luke is careful to separate those. No. So the miracles that God performed through Paul were essential to convince the Ephesians that he was from God. Impressed with him as a messenger of God, their hearts are prepared then to hear his message of salvation. And here's the third evidence. It's competition with the word. So here's the power of the word of God going out in Ephesus. Here is the competition then that starts to happen with the word of God. It says some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. How do you think that's going to work, guys? That's something I'd just like to say here is any kind of secondhand relationship to Jesus Christ is not, it's not real.
What a pleasure it has been to have you join us today for this edition of Truth That Transforms. Pastor Bo has given us some good things to think about, pondering things of God, things of His Word, things about the world around us. We know there's so much more to learn and appreciate next time, but we're trusting that what you've taken away from today's edition will have a profound impact for the day at hand. To stay connected to our ministry and what's going on, we want to extend an invitation to join us this weekend. We meet at Palm Bay Magnet High School in Melbourne, Florida. Come at 10 a.m. on Sundays or for a youth service at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. As you scroll through various media outlets, make sure that our ministry is a part of what's feeding your soul. We're on Facebook and Instagram and would like to bring encouragement to what you're seeing and taking in. You can also go to our website to find more resources. Just go to trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. There's a tab at the top titled The Gospel. This will give you a comprehensive idea of what it means to know and be in relationship with God. If you have any other questions, you can reach us at 321-676-8992. That number again is 321-676-8992. We'd love to speak with you about any of these things. That's all for today's edition. But we look forward to you joining us again as Pastor Bo teaches. This has been Truth That Transforms.
Hymns of joy in grateful chorus ring.